Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 96 on December 23rd, 2014. Changing the world, one ass at a time. So it's only 2 days away from that bizarre holiday where the big fat guy sails through the air and brings us the things we supposedly want. I hope you're all enjoying this holiday season. I certainly am. I do not have everything ready for the holidays, but that's typical for me. I perform well under pressure. So I hope you all really enjoy whatever it is you're celebrating this holiday season, whatever religious beliefs you have, non-religious beliefs. How about the flying spaghetti monster? That's one of my favorites. And I've seen Christmas trees topped with the flying spaghetti monster. So, you know, there's all kinds of people out there. And no matter what you're celebrating, even if it's just getting friends and family together, I hope it's enjoyable for you. Okay, let me see here. The first thing I want to talk about this time is a real quick thing about not buying on Amazon. Amazon is where a lot of us go to find the cheapest deals. It's a pretty well-known and fairly reliable thing to be able to get on, you know, find something that you really like and it's a little expensive, or you just want to get the best deal you can because your budget doesn't allow you to pay full price as easily as other people who have more money. So you go on Amazon and you do a search and you find it and you buy it, and you usually get quite a deal. Okay, here's the deal about what happens with sex toys. The people who make knockoffs are well aware that this is happening. In other words, what I just described about people going onto Amazon and trying to get the best deal. So there are absolutely knockoffs of some of the more expensive toys out there. And so what happens is people buy them, they don't perform like they're supposed to, they're kind of bizarre, and so they contact the company, and the company says, yeah, you don't have one of our products, you have a knockoff. Let's see, they've had Fieldo knockoffs, they've had Enjoy Pure One knockoffs, and a bunch of other ones. So unless you have a situation where you absolutely know that what you're buying is the real thing, and you know, I'm not sure how you can really tell that when you've got a seller on Amazon, take that into consideration. And especially when it's a toy that's expensive and that you really need to be able to depend that it's the real thing. Because how disappointing it would be if you paid like 3/4 of the price and thought you got a great deal, got it home, and it's just not the same thing. And then not only is it not the same thing, but who knows what the hell it's made out of, because knockoffs are generally made in China. That's what they do, is they take the real item over there and they figure out a way to make it really, really, really cheap, which, when we're talking about sex toys, many times includes toxic, many times includes just not the same construction. So yeah, that's my warning about buying on Amazon. If you do it, you are just pretty much taking your chances. Okay, let's see, a little bit of toy news. A picture came up and was posted on Reddit in the Pegging group, and somebody said, who knows what this toy is? And apparently, it is a new release that the Fun Factory has. You know about the double-ended dildo called the Share? Well, apparently, what they've done is they've made a new model that includes a vibe, and it looks much better designed. I know that there's a lot of people out there who may be fans of the Fun Factory Share. It never really worked for me, and it didn't work for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. But as I've mentioned before, we're all different when it comes to which toys work for our bodies and which ones we love. But the point is that also the Share did not have a vibe option. So it looks like what they've done is designed a new Share that has a vibe option, and it doesn't have that floppy thing where, you know, the main part of it that gets inserted into the guy flops down because it's so heavy, and the connector part of it doesn't really support that, because that was one of the problems with it. It looks like it is more rigid. I'm not sure how rigid it is, but it just looks like it's better designed. And so I'm kind of excited about that. I did a little research into it because it was a little bit hard to find. And it looked to me like Love Honey over in the UK had a 6-week exclusive on it before it got released into the United States. And the news is that it will be available at the ANME, which is not anime, it's Adult Novelty Manufacturers Expo, the ANME and the XBiz shows after the first of the year, which I believe those are both in January, or maybe January and February, I'm not quite sure. Anyway, yeah, it looks like a pretty cool toy, and I can't wait to try it out. Okay, next thing I want to talk about is I've had some more thoughts about the whole... I keep talking about this subject, and I think I finally decided how I feel about it. This is the whole toxic toy thing regarding the safety of them and the possibility that we're getting people all scared about toxicity and they really aren't that bad and all that kind of stuff. This has been a recurring theme through the last few podcasts, and I think here's how I feel about it. You know, there's really no way of knowing how much those chemicals are affecting us. We do know that the chemicals are bad. We do know that they're bad to the point where we've banned them in children's toys. There is no possible way to know that the exposure from a child chewing on a toy once could end up causing that child as an adult later in life cancer. There's no way to know that. We just know that that chemical is a bad thing and that there are bad things connected to it health-wise. So I'm not willing to take the risk. I'm not willing to say, well, you know, it could be okay, because I like to err on the side of caution. I like to err on the side of being as conscious about things that affect my health as possible, especially where sex toys are concerned. So I know that it's good if people are a little paranoid, because it means in one sense that we're doing a really effective job of spreading the word. And I think that there's a bit of a swing of the pendulum happening here. They've gotten away with selling such bullshit, toxic, horrible toys for so long and gotten off scot-free and affected countless people's health to one degree or another. Again, we don't know. So finally, the public is waking up to the fact that these toys are toxic. Hallelujah that they're waking up, you know? That's excellent. That means that we're doing an effective job of spreading the word. And it's okay if, for a while, that pendulum swings over a little too far and people get a little bit afraid about whether a toy is toxic or not. Now, I can't say I don't feel for the people who don't have a whole lot of money to spend. But you know what? There are toys out there for sale that are 100% silicone that you can find fairly inexpensive. You can go to Tantas and buy out of their grab bag. There's a bunch of different options. And usually there are a few that are less expensive than the others. Now, you can't afford the top-of-the-line toys, but that just means you have to save up for a little bit. And, you know, okay, here I am saying all this stuff, and I get my toys for free because people send them to me because they want me to try them out. So I apologize for having that situation happening in my life and lecturing to the people who can hardly afford sex toys. But I still think that it's a good thing that more people are conscious about this, because if you at least are paranoid about the toxicity and you do your research, you can eventually find one that is hopefully more your price range without going to Amazon and spending, you know, $11 on a dildo from China that's all toxic. So anyway, I just wanted to talk about that a little bit because, yeah, I think this swing of the pendulum thing is good. And, you know, paranoia isn't good, but paranoia can motivate you to find out what's real. It can have you asking questions. It can create controversy. It gets people listening when you're afraid that something is poisonous for you and you're asking questions. So anyway, there you go. I don't really care if the vagina sloughs off all the cells in the inner lining every day, or once a week or whatever. I don't care. I think that it's really important to be aware of the chemicals that you're putting inside of your body and try and avoid them as much as possible, and educate all the people around you that this situation exists. Okay, next topic. I am going to post a couple of links to two discussions on Reddit that I think you guys will really enjoy and a lot of you will find some worth in. One of them is this really step-by-step awesome thing that this guy posted, and it's called A Guide to Multiple Prostate Orgasms, okay? And another thread, another post that was done, is one called Your Prostate and All the Fun That Can Come From It. So, you know, we're pretty prostate-oriented around these parts, so I'm going to put those two links in my Linkorama. and you guys can check them out because there's so much good information there. And, you know, I love hearing this step-by-step, really detailed information from the guys because, hello, they're the ones with the prostates. I can talk about it all day, but I don't have one. So that as well as, and I've talked about this before, but if you haven't heard me talk about it, here you go. If you go to the Aneros website, A-N-E-R-O-S, and you find the forum, that is filled with all kinds of men talking about how to achieve the most amazing orgasms ever through prostate stimulation, either with the Aneros toys or just with other things as well. There is also a pegging thread there that I contribute to occasionally. I haven't been there in a while. I'm kind of overdue. But so that's more place, and I'll put the link for that too. That's more places where you can find out prostate information. Okay, so now we're on to our first letter. And this is kind of a serious one, so here we go. Hi, Ruby. I'm so torn over this topic. My husband has a huge sex drive and is always wanting to try something new, and I've always gone along. We have a great relationship, and he's a very attentive lover. However, I find that time and time again, our compromises are actually me being pushed over my line and him getting more than he originally asked for. Sadly, pegging is something I just cannot pretend to enjoy, and I'm starting to resent my husband, whom I love dearly. I have been taped up, tied up, dressed up, chained up. I even wore a full leather mask, which made me feel sick, but I really don't want to fuck my husband in the ass. I did feel guilty about that, but now I'm feeling pretty angry. I've been in tears about this, yet he still bombards me with pictures and porn, etc., like my feelings are ignored. I love everything he does to me, but I don't ask for the new or extreme, because I love his touch, period. And I do feel selfish, until I realize how many endless requests I've fulfilled. More importantly, I would never make him do something he didn't want to do, much less an act that brought him to tears. It's the equivalent of me asking him to spank the shit out of me because it turns me on. The thought of hitting me in any way distresses him. I had serious abuse in a prior relationship. But yet again, I caved and it was awful. I flat out told him to pretend I wasn't there. I covered myself completely with body stocking gloves and a lycra mask and commanded that I was not to be touched or I'd stop. I felt sick at treating him that way and being forced to do something I didn't want. We talked seriously about him paying someone once a month. He works away for 4 weeks, home for 10 days. Because I do understand it's something he can't ignore. But he says he could never sleep with anyone else, and I know it would destroy me too. So here's my sad tale, Ruby. After 15 years of marriage, my soulmate and I are at an impasse. Okay, wow. There is a lack. This is the first thing I see, okay? Is that there is a lack of him respecting your feelings. This is about pegging, but the larger topic here, the larger thing that's more important, is that he doesn't seem to respect your feelings and doesn't seem to place enough importance on them to not continue to insist on the things he wants, even though you have very clearly said you don't want to do them. Pegging's not for everyone. I've always said that. Either you like it or you don't, and there's some in-betweens there where if it's a kind of a medium thing, it's like no big deal, doesn't turn you on, but it turns your partner on, you can do it. But this is clearly not something you enjoy, not something you ever want to do, and especially if it actually brings you to tears. I don't know, in my opinion, I give pegging advice, but I give a little bit of relationship advice, but it always makes me a little bit nervous because I don't know both sides of the story and everything. I just know what you've told me. But from what you've told me, I would put all sex on hold and go find a kink-friendly counselor. And, you know, I'm going to put a link to Kate Lurie. She's someone who lives down in LA, and I'm not sure where you're writing from. However, she does do phone work with people. She's an extremely kink-friendly counselor, and she's helped a lot of people. She's helped some friends of mine as well, because you need to work out this underlying thing of him not respecting your feelings and continuing to kind of bulldoze over them in his quest to get what he wants. This is so not okay, and it's really an awful thing in a relationship, and I can tell how much it distresses you. There is, you know, this is going to make it so that sex is no fun for you. And it's going to be an underlying thing all the time. It's like, oh God, what's he going to come up with next that I don't want to do? Now, even after 15 years of marriage, it could be that you guys have finally gotten to the point where you realize that to a certain extent, you're sexually incompatible because he's on never-ending search for the new, the more exciting, the more intense, the more severe, I guess the name would be, or the word would be. And you seem to be satisfied with just the basics. So I'm not sure if that's a compatible situation or not. That's also something that needs to be discussed. It seems as if you need to also make a big list of things, what you're willing to do and what you're not, and have that totally honored. Once it's out in the open, there's that website called Mojo Upgrade, and they have huge list of all the different possible sexual things you can do, and there's a fair amount of kinky things in there too. You know, fill all that out, and then from that point in time, make sure that those hard limits are honored. If your hard limit is pegging, which it really sounds like it is, that should be fucking honored. It's not okay for him to just bulldoze over it. So I just really feel for you. It sounds like you're trying your very, very best to satisfy all these things for him, and yet he keeps pushing and pushing harder. At some point in time, he needs to sit back a little bit and say, wow, I'm so fortunate that she has done so much already. And, you know, she's just not going to do this part. I mean, there are dildos that have suction cups. He can fuck himself with those in the shower, in the bathroom, whatever. There are dildos that have handles on them. He can fuck himself. You know, there are different possibilities. He can wear a butt plug or a vibrating butt plug or a good-sized dildo, maybe, while he's fucking you. I don't know if that would be an option that you would consider, or if you just kind of want to have nothing to do with his ass at all. I'm not really, you know, you weren't really clear about that in your letter, but those are pretty much all the ideas that I have, and I'm not sure if any of them will really help, but I think counseling is in order. It absolutely is. This is not okay that your feelings are not being respected, and it's almost as if he's not hearing you, and that's not okay either. So yeah, I'll put Kate's link in my Linkorama, and I'm also going to send you a private email about with her link on it. And I wish you the very best of luck. Thank you for writing in and letting us hear your story. It's good to hear stories from all sides of the spectrum. I don't always just enjoy the happy ones, because this is life and this is reality, and we all struggle trying to make our relationships work. So thank you for sharing this with me and giving me an opportunity to answer it. I appreciate you writing in. Okay, next letter. Hey Ruby, I have a bit of a unique situation that might be interesting to bring up in your next podcast. I have a lover, a younger college guy who's absolutely gorgeous and charming. Black hair, bright blue eyes, swimmer's build, you get the picture. Though there's always been a bit of an issue with our sex life. He has a big stamina issue, and I'm not a size queen, but because of how I'm built, I need something of substantial girth and length to get me off, and his less than average size fails to provide that for me. However, we began pegging a while back, and it has been a godsend for our sex life. With the right strap on, pegging gives me incredible orgasms, and since I've mastered my technique, I can give him mind-blowing full-body prostate orgasms nearly every time. Since we both love pegging so much, we do it all the time, typically in the morning and before we go to bed. However, I've become a bit worried that our frequent pegging and lack of penis and vagina sex may be affecting him. I'm worried that he may be feeling a bit emasculated, and perhaps even embarrassed or humiliated. I'm definitely a dominant woman, and dominant with my lover, but I have no desire to completely demoralize him, and while I both enjoy and prefer him to be submissive with me, I still want him to feel content and confident within that submission. Do you have any tips or advice? Ooh, this is a fun question for me because it combines the pegging with my kinks, which I always like to do, not only in my personal life, but also in answering questions. Okay, I'm going to first say the most obvious thing, which is you need to communicate this with him and talk with him. And it's funny because, you know, I'm a moderator on the pegging group at Reddit, and also I peruse the Reddit sex group sometimes. And that they make a joke there that that's the answer to the vast majority of questions that people write in and situations they have with their significant other is, you need to communicate this to him. So that is the first and most obvious comment that I have regarding the situation. And then let me get a little bit more into it, because what you have here is a situation where, okay, you've mentioned that his cock doesn't fully satisfy you. Well, if his cock doesn't fully satisfy you, there is always the possibility of him using a strap-on, okay? Spare Parts makes a lovely harness called the Deuce. And what it is made for, it's got two holes, or thus the name Deuce, and it is made for the man to put his cock through the lower hole and then have a strap-on in the upper hole. Now, he can either put his cock through the lower hole at the same time, which of course would afford you a lovely experience of dual penetration, which, wow, you want to empower the guy and not have him feel demoralized. That would be a pretty fun thing to do. But if you can also just use the strap-on. See, the point in using the strap-on is that you can then control the size of the toy that you're using. And if something a little bit bigger gets you off, awesome. Clearly, with a toy, there's not going to be a stamina problem. And from I gleaned a little bit of information about the whole, you know, hetero guys wearing strap-ons from Dan Savage. And what he said was, is that gay guys don't have any problem wearing strap-ons, and clearly lesbians don't, but they don't have any penises to have insecurities about. Although the mind fuck thing can sort of go in the opposite direction when a lesbian straps one on, because it's sort of like, oh, I need this thing to fuck my girlfriend. So, you know, there's emotional, mental sort of mind fuck possibilities with that combination as well. But hetero guys, yeah, they have a hell of a time and it just flips their head out because they feel like their penis is being replaced and blah, blah, blah. So it would be way cool if he was not one of those guys that freaked out about that. And if you got him the Spare Parts Deuce and you got a good sized toy, because then he could be the one on top, so to speak. Clearly, you can use any position you like, fucking you until, you know, your eyes roll back in your head, because the stamina would be there and the whole thing. But altogether, with this suggestion of different equipment and a different way to play that I would suggest in addition to the pegging, I mean, it sounds like you're both quite happy with the pegging. And I understand why you're asking about the situation, because it does sound a little bit one-sided right now, no matter how happy you both are. And I would probably be concerned too and be asking him, so how are you feeling about this? That would be my suggestion, along with the equipment, is to communicate with him and communicate with him first and just sit and talk with him and say, okay, this is just the most amazing sex I've ever had. I'm loving this. You know, I'm dominant. I'm getting off on this. You're getting off on this. But I'm wondering how you're feeling. And I'm wondering if this in any way is making you feel less than a man, you know, anything along those lines, because I care about how you feel about this. And I want this to feel good, all parts of it, not just one part of it, and have you sort of being quiet over there and going, wow, I really wish I could do this other thing too, but clearly she doesn't really get off on it, and I can't really keep it hard enough long enough, and so yeah, that's kind of fucked up, and I'm feeling kind of insecure about it, but I'm getting these mind-blowing orgasms through her pegging, so I'll just shut the fuck up. Well, then you got this hard little space inside you when you do stuff like that, and it's so much nicer. It's hard to talk about these things, but it's so much nicer to have that all out in the open, because there are solutions. The strap-on is a solution. And it could be that what you fuck him with is the perfect size for what you want to be fucked with, and you don't even need to get a different toy. You just need to get the additional harness. Normally, the regular harnesses won't work because there's not enough room for the guy's junk in there. And, I mean, come on, how can you pass up the potential of getting dual penetrated? And I mean, you know, you might not be into anal, and you may hear the suggestion and go, no fucking way. But it could be really exciting to try it out. It absolutely could. So those are my suggestions for you. Communication, that's the biggest one, because it's really important that a person who is choosing to be in the submissive position sexually be okay with that and not have it affect their self-confidence and their self-esteem and have them feeling less than. I know that there's people out there who enjoy that feeling of less than, and that's how they thrive as a submissive, but that's a different kind of submission, unless he's really into that. And, you know, I suppose that's the last thing I have to say about this, is he might like feeling that way. So that's another thought to throw up there when you talk about it and explore it. And usually best to talk about these things in a very private and calm space away from the bedroom so that there's no big pressure, certainly not before sex. So there you go. And please let us know how it goes. I envy you. I totally envy you, your dark-haired, blue-eyed man with the swimmer's build. That sounds pretty fucking hot, and I'm glad you are enjoying it. Okay, this next one is just a short comment that was left on my blog as a comment, and I just needed to read it to you guys because it's just so fun and so short and so awesome. I am a guy who absolutely loves getting pegged. I love it in my ass, and I am not ashamed to say it. My girlfriend pegs me with a 7-inch penis-shaped dildo, and it is very, very amazing. I can't get enough of it, haha. I actually would like something bigger. For all you guys out there contemplating doing this, give it a shot and let go and just let it happen. It truly is incredible. Thanks. Oh, that was awesome. Thank you for writing in, sir. That was just a pleasure to read when I first found it on my blog, and a pleasure to read it on my podcast. I appreciate all the guys who write in with this sort of an attitude, because the more guys who hear this and hear how amazing it is and how happy this guy sounds, then the more guys that'll want to try it, hopefully. Okay, the next thing I have here was just, this is a snippet from part of an email that was sent to me, and it's regarding G-Spot. And part of what she wrote to me was, last I heard, you had not found yours, and I was wondering if that had changed. I have not had that experience either, and am feeling like I'm really missing out, but when I do try myself, I never have any good feelings. It's very mechanical. Any ideas? Okay, let me give you the complete story on my G-spot journey. I tried to find my own G-spot too, and I've never really found any good feelings. It was sort of like, this is it's no big deal. It is a little bit difficult to reach, so that there is that. But I, you know, would kind of reach down there and feel around and say, you know, I don't get this whole fucking magic spot thing. What the hell, right? So I didn't keep with it too long. I didn't persist because, I mean, what's the point? You reach down there and you play around and you can't find it. It's like, oh, well. So enter geek boyfriend, okay, that I had a few years ago. He's a geek, so he researched G-spot stimulation, and he checked it all out on the internet, probably, since he's a geek, and then he brought those skills to bed. So there I was, laying there one night. We had fabulous hotel sex all the time, as often as we could get together, but it was always in hotels. And he started stimulating my G-spot. I'm laying on my back, and he's stimulating my G-spot. And it was feeling okay. It was nice. It was something that felt nice enough to where I wasn't going to stop him from doing it or say, hey, what the hell? I'm not really feeling anything. And it was starting to feel really good. And then it was starting to feel really good. And the only sensation that I can compare it to, which it has been compared to much in all of the things that you read about it, is it feels a little bit like you have to go pee. If you have ever had a bladder infection and you have that sort of, you still have to pee, but there's nothing in there and you can't go, and it's a little bit of a sensitive sort of, you're very, very aware of your urethra. That's the only sensation that I can compare it to, but it's not a painful burning, and it's not as urethra-centered as it is located further back, because that's where the G-spot is further back. But it has that feeling of needing to pee. And that is what you'll hear on and on and on about the G-spot, is that when you stimulate it, it feels like you have to pee. And so anyway, I started feeling that, but it felt really good. So I'm kind of relaxing into it and sort of intrigued that this guy's doing this. And then all of a sudden, I am in tears. This huge emotional thing happened. And I've told this story before, but I will tell it again. He looked up from what he was doing. He saw me in tears, and he stopped what he was doing, came up to the top of the bed, and took me into his arms. And he said to me, two things. The first was, just let it out, honey. So in that moment, you know, when you have a huge emotional thing come up and you get all teary-eyed, we all make a decision whether it feels safe enough to let those emotions out and let the tears out. He immediately, when he said that, made it safe. So I just cried and he held me. And the only other thing he said to me was, you are so loved. And that made me cry more, which was good. So I cried for a little while, let it all out, and then finally calmed down. And he kind of looked at me and said, so what was that? And I said, you know, I have no idea. I have no idea. And we both kind of laughed about it and shrugged, and that was fine. And the interesting thing is that did not stop him from exploring the G-spot. Not in that moment, but as I recall, and it's been a few years, so it's hard to remember, I think the next time that we got together, he tried it out. But the next time we got together, I had a little bit of an emotional reaction, but not a whole lot. And then before I knew it, he fucking had me squirting. And I mean, that's about how fast it happened. I was really totally relaxed and he just totally got me to squirt. And there's maybe a misconception that when you squirt, you always orgasm. That is not the case. You can squirt without orgasming too, which is what I did. It still felt really, really good and amazing, but it wasn't an orgasmic type of squirt. It can happen at the same time, but mine didn't. So somewhere right in that whole period of doing this exploration, I found Deborah Sundahl's book, Female Ejaculation and the G-Spot, okay? And I read it. And one of the things it says in there is that it is not uncommon for women to have emotional reactions to G-spot stimulation, especially women, I think she said, in their 40s and 50s. I could be mistaken on that. I'm going by memory. Anyway, the whole point was, I'm certainly not the first to have this experience. Why? Who knows? But it is something that is not that unusual. So then we go a little bit, let me go from there to pegging land a little bit, okay? I've talked a lot about how G-spot and prostate are very, very, very similar. They have a ton of similarities. In fact, the same tissue from the embryo differentiates into either the G-spot or the prostate. So it is possible, it does happen, that men have this reaction as well when you start stimulating their prostate for the first time. And sometimes, even if it's not the first time, you can be pegging them and have an extraordinarily amazing session, and all of a sudden they are in tears and they have this big emotional reaction. The reason I tell this to my classes that I teach, even the beginners, is because that story that I just told you about the guy and me having the emotional reaction, he handled that about as perfectly as he could have. It was amazing. It was exactly what I needed. It's even more important, should you be a woman who is with a man who has an emotional reaction like this, that you handle this equally as well as that man did with me. Because this is a man who is in an incredibly open, vulnerable position, okay? And then his emotions come up on top of it. Yeah, you better be okay with that and you better handle it really well. And it's not this huge thing that you have to do, just do exactly what that guy did with me. Or ask him, do you want me to stop? And maybe he wants you to not stop. Maybe the tears are just there, but he's okay with it. So anyway, back to the whole story about the G-spot. So what I did was, I thought, okay, this is really cool that this guy showed me what the deal was with this, and it feels really good. So I'm going to explore this myself. And I was house sitting on this huge estate where I was guaranteed absolute and total privacy. And I brought with me two things. One was my trusted Hitachi, and the other was a Lalo vibrator. And I can't even remember the name of it, but I think it's a model that they don't make anymore. Suffice to say that it had some lovely vibrations and vibrational patterns and everything. And it had a lovely curve to it. And this is the important part, because here's what I did. I laid on my back. I put a couple of pillows under my knees and so I'd be comfortable. And I took that Lalo vibrator and I put it on the intermittent pattern at full strength. And what that means is it kind of went like this. It went zzz, 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 like that. Okay, so, and I curved it up towards the roof of my vagina, which is where the G-spot was, and I searched around, and I found that spot that the guy had showed me, and I pushed it against that spot, and it felt freaking amazing. So I did that for a while, and I played around with it. And I think, as I recall, it may have even made me sort of leak a little bit, sort of like a squirting, but not really, because, you know, squirting is a misnomer. It doesn't always fly out like in the fucking porn movies. A lot of times it dribbles out. Anyway, had a little bit of that and was prepared for it. I had some towels under me. And then I took my Hitachi, and I got myself off clitorally, while at the same time holding the vibrator against my G-spot, right? So the first orgasm was kind of cool. It was sort of, it covered a more large area, okay, is the best way I can explain it. It was not clit-centered. It was also in my vagina, and like, okay, I'm a little late to the party. There's a lot of women who have already found this out much earlier in life, and some of them who just go to it naturally, okay, that they're very, very responsive in their vagina, and they can get off with intercourse and things like that. But this was new stuff to me, so it was pretty damn exciting. And so I got off the first time, and I thought, well, that was cool, but I'm going to try this again. And so I stuck with it. And I kept that vibration going on my G-spot, and I kept the after a very brief break, I got the Hitachi going again and put that on my clit, and it was kind of a hard won orgasm because it took a while to get there. But holy crap, when I got there, I was loudly verbal, and I did not have a choice, and that was a really interesting sensation. It was like I was making noise and there was nothing that was going to stop me. It was completely involuntary. I wasn't even really, it just came out, and it was loud, and it was a rolling orgasm that had waves, and it went on for quite a while. It wasn't quite as up and sharp as a clitoral orgasm, but then again, it didn't have that, you know, drop and straight back down either. It was an amazing orgasm. And so this is the first time that I really realized, okay, wow, that's what can happen here. And they talk about blended orgasms, so the stimulation of the G-spot as well as the clitoris. So there you go. Since then, I've done a lot of playing around with that, and one of my favorite things that I talk about is the Pure Wand, the Enjoy Pure Wand. And some women enjoy vibrations on their G-spot and some women just enjoy the pressure. I think that it's possible that if you use a toy that has vibrations, it might kind of wake that area of you up, or it might be just that you need to have your guy concentrate on it and do the come hither motion with the two fingers and the whole thing, just like you do with prostate stuff, you do with G-spot stuff. But I would experiment, because sometimes all it takes is a little bit more firm pressure or a little bit of vibration, and it can be just astonishingly pleasurable. One other suggestion I have for a toy that would be awesome for G-spot exploration, if the Enjoy does not appeal to you, and the Enjoy, those toys don't necessarily appeal to everyone because they are metal, they're stainless steel, and they're heavy, and some people just, that's not their thing. So if you'd rather have something that feels a little bit more sensual and like a more of a normal sex toy, I don't know how to phrase that, Layla makes a lovely, well, they have a bunch of choices for G-spot stimulation. One of them, without any vibrations, is the Lilo Ella, Ella, and it is a beautiful shaped toy that you can use either end of. One end is a little bit more, has a flat surface, and the other end has a little bit of a more rounded, pointed surface. And you can use either one of those to try and do G-spot stimulation. In fact, that's what it's created for. It does not have a vibe, so it's just a lovely shaped object that you can use in terms of your G-spot play. It has a lovely curve to it. And here's why I mention that. It's because that particular toy, the Lilo Ella, is on sale for $20 right now through enticeme.com. So if that's something that appeals to you, I have no idea how many we have in stock, but this is the time to buy it, absolutely. And also, there are a number of other Lilo toys that have all kinds of amazing vibrational things happening. So probably the best one that I've heard women just swoon over is the Ina 2, I-N-A. And that has a part that goes inside your vagina that vibrates, and a little sort of smaller thing that is above and goes on your clit. And so it vibrates at the same time. It's absolutely amazing. So I'll put links to all of these for under the category of G-spot toys, and you can click through and see what you like. In my experience, myself and also talking with other women regarding this subject. This does seem to be an area of the body that sometimes you just kind of need to wake up a little bit, if you will. And the same thing applies, surprise, surprise, right? Not with the prostate. Sometimes when you very first get in there and touch a guy's prostate, he's pretty not impressed. And that's why a lot of guys who start checking out prostate stimulation, they never go any further, because that's as far as they get, is the very similar story to what you have just said to me about your G-spot. Sometimes it takes more stimulation and kind of coming back to it to sensitize it. I think that's the best way I can explain it. I'm not sure why it works that way, but it is something that kind of needs to be woken up for some people. So I would suggest you give that a try. And yeah, one of my very, very favorite things, very, very favorite ways to get off. Sometimes I forget that I'm talking on a podcast with all kinds of people listening, and I talk about such personal stuff that just sort of blows my mind, but I'm going to go ahead after my little freak out there, and I'm going to go ahead and just finish that sentence. One of my very favorite ways to get off, because I've said this before on that one podcast where I answered all of the questions, is to have a man holding me in his arms with his two fingers inside my vagina on my G-spot, stimulating my G-spot, and kissing me in this endless kiss. And I've got the Hitachi, and I'm getting myself off with my clit, and it's just explosive. It's not just explosive, but he's a part of my orgasm, because my orgasms are pretty shy. They don't come around all that often with a partner. And so this is a way that I feel so connected with him in a lovely way, with the kissing and everything. So yeah, I love that. That's a suggestion I would give for a bunch of people. And guy doesn't have to use his fingers either. He can use the Enjoy Pure wand. He can use a vibrator. There's a bunch of different ways for that to work. So that is my G-spot story. And I enjoy telling that story. I enjoy my G-spot, and I hope that you will too. So check it out and see what you think, and let us know how it goes, as always. Okay, next letter. I thoroughly enjoy your podcast and love the great work you do to advocate for pegging. I am currently in a relationship in which pegging is something my girlfriend and I engage in sometimes. I love wearing panties as part of our play, as they are sort of a cue that I need to be pegged. As a woman who also enjoys having her pegging partners in panties, I was wondering if you could recommend panties that fit men well. I've only found one panty that fits well thus far, American Apparel Stretch Floral Lace Thong. I'd be grateful if you could recommend others so I can fill up my panty drawer. Thongs and G-strings are preferable so that she can pull them to one side while she pegs me. Thanks in advance. Oh yeah, more questions that speak directly to my kink. Thank you. So I did a little research for you, and here are the suggestions that I found, because of course, all bodies are differently shaped, and all sizes of packages are different where men are concerned as well, even in the resting state. So, here are the suggestions I have come across. One of them is, the first one is Victoria's Secret, like yoga thongs, the no-show yoga thongs. This one guy just raves about them and says they're the most comfortable thing that he has ever worn. These are also seamless, which I think is part of the comfort as well. And he says it conforms very well to the family jewels. So, but then another guy commented, and I'm just finding a thread here on the internet because, hey, that's where you find everything out. Is this guy says the Victoria's Secret thongs that this man was talking about really don't seem to accommodate him very well. His choice is Calvin Klein seamless microfiber thongs and Alfani microfiber thongs. Clearly, he's a cut above Victoria's Secret, this man. He also recommends trying out Hanky Panky lace thongs because they fit a guy really good and they're very sexy. So those are the suggestions that I have for you. I do know that there are also websites that sell underwear that are very specifically built for men to accommodate the package, and they are very, very feminine. So it depends on what you want, because some men, when they wear women's panties, enjoy that feeling of having there be not quite enough room for their junk. And some men would rather have it be more comfortable. And certainly if you would rather have it be more comfortable and that feeling of having your junk kind of held in there a little bit too tight and the thrill of wearing the women's panty is part of that. And if you are going for not just the femininity, but the comfort as well, then some of the really feminine, sweet looking panties on websites that appeal to men who love dressing up in the feminine, but they want their clothes to fit, those would be the perfect places to check out as well. So I'll leave you a few links along those lines too. Because, goodness, they're just fun to look at the pictures of the guys, much less the pictures of the underwear, which may not appeal to you, but that's why I go there. So I know that part of the reason that you asked me this question, as you phrased it, was because I am a woman who loves panties on men. I do. However, the reason I don't have a lot of my own suggestions is because I have had a lack of a consistent intimate partner, much less a consistent intimate partner who is totally into panties. I hope to remedy that in 2015, just so you know. Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? Another class announcement. I have scheduled another couple of pegging classes beginning in advance down in Long Beach again. The classes we did down there a couple of weeks ago were absolutely awesome, and so we decided to schedule another one in January. It'll be on the 25th, Sunday, same place down in Long Beach, so all of you in LA or the surrounding area within driving distance. Giving you a longer heads up this time, more of an advance warning. And we will have those classes on Sunday, January 25th. The links and everything will be coming up on my website pretty quick. I actually already have the Eventbrite put together, scheduled, ready to go for tickets and things like that. But I'll be linking it and promoting it on Facebook and my website and all those things pretty quickly. There's one more thing I wanted to mention before I say goodbye this time. And it's something that occurred to me that I just wanted to share with you. It's a thought about sex-positive attitudes. There's an aspect of having a sex-positive attitude that many people forget about. It's not just about suspending judgment about other people's sexual choices. It's also, and even more importantly, as a place to start, it's about not judging yourself. It's about letting go of the shame and the guilt and allowing yourself to just simply seek pleasure. That's a huge part of sex-positive attitude. So I wanted to share that with you because it's, you know, those words, yeah, take them to heart and share them with everyone you know. So let's see. I think we'll leave it there. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I'm on Facebook. I have a profile as well as a page. You can subscribe to my blog if you like. There's all kinds of lovely, sexy things that don't ever appear on my podcasts. Because you can't see on my podcast all the pictures and things like that. Pieces of erotica. My podcast is on iTunes. It's also available through different podcasting engines. And if you want to send all your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com, or you can click the Write Ruby links at the upper right corner of every page of my blog. Thank you for downloading and listening. And as always, happy pegging.